Welcome to another deep dive into a world where science fiction meets real science. Today we're going to be exploring sublimating harmonics, a Noelian rhapsody. It's a chapter from David Noel Lynch's short story collection anthology, but there's a twist.
This chapter wasn't actually written by Lynch himself.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it was generated by an AI,
Bro.
Gemini 1.5 Pro,
Wow.
based on an outline by Lynch.
So it's like having an AI channel the mind of David Lynch, which is both intriguing and a little bit unnerving. I mean, this chapter isn't your typical sci-fi adventure. It kind of delves into some pretty heady concepts like physics, philosophy, even theology.
All woven together with this Noelian framework.
Right.
And what's interesting is that the chapter opens with a scene where a scientist, a philosopher, and a theologian are having this heated debate about the nature of the universe.
Mm-hmm.
Each one kind of represents a different way of knowing, a different lens through which to view reality.
Like, they each hold a piece of the puzzle, but none of them have the complete picture. And then this character, Marianne, throws a wrench into the whole discussion by just simply stating, "I have never been this age before."
Right.
Which seems like a pretty obvious statement.
It is. But that's the beauty of it. It's this seemingly simple observation. Cuts to the core of Noelian thought. It highlights the fact that the universe is in constant flux. Every moment is unique. It's never going to be repeated.
It's like that saying, you can never step in the same river twice. But in this case, it's not just the river that's changing. It's you too. Every instant is like a new creation.
Exactly. And this really challenges our usual way of thinking about reality as something fixed and static. The Noelian perspective suggests that everything is in motion, constantly transforming.
Okay, so how does this idea of a constantly changing universe square with the Big Bang Theory? Because that seems pretty fixed, like one singular event that kicked off the universe.
Well, the chapter throws a curveball at the Big Bang Theory. Instead of this single explosion, it proposes a universe that's constantly inhaling and exhaling, a continuous process of sublimation and emergence.
So instead of a bang, it's more like a constant hum, a cosmic breath.
Precisely. And what we perceive as the universe is kind of the result of this ongoing exchange between these two swirling mists, one representing control, the other chaos.
Hold on, mists. Control and chaos. This is starting to sound like we're in the David Lynch film.
Well, the chapter does have a distinctly Lynchian vibe to it, but if we try to unpack it, the mist analogy is actually quite helpful. Imagine like a crimson tide of particles representing control colliding with a sapphire ocean of waves, which represents chaos, and their interaction doesn't lead to an explosion, but rather a precipitation, a continuous birthing of the universe through sublimation.
Okay, I'm trying to wrap my head around the sublimation concept, so like dry ice, right?
Yeah.
Transforming from solid to gas without going through the liquid phase.
Yes, it's a direct shift between states. And the chapter applies this concept not just to matter, but to consciousness as well. Our thoughts, emotions, memories, they're not fixed entities, but constantly sublimating.
Emerging and dissolving back into the ether.
Exactly.
So if I'm understanding this correctly, our consciousness isn't this solid, unchanging thing, but more like a fluid, dynamic process.
Exactly. It's always in flux, just like the universe itself. And this brings us to another mind-bending concept, automaton and entropium.
Okay, hit me with it. What are automaton and entropium?
Think of them as like two fundamental forces that shape reality. Automaton is the realm of absolute control where all possibilities are predetermined. It's like a cosmic blueprint.
So the opposite of chaos, then.
You could say that.
But wait, didn't we just talk about how the Noelian model emphasizes constant change and flux?
Right, and that's where entropium comes in. This is the realm of pure chaos, of infinite possibility. It exists beyond the constraints of causality, constantly disrupting the order imposed by automaton.
So it's like this cosmic dance between order and chaos, between automaton and entropium.
That's a great way to put it. And it's not a battle for dominance, but rather a dynamic interplay, a constant negotiation between these two fundamental forces. And the point where they meet, that threshold between those realms, is described as the instant.
The instant? What exactly does that mean?
Think of it as the point where the past and future converge.
Hmm.
It's a singular infinity, a moment of both absolute control and infinite possibility.
Wow, that's a lot to process. So we've got this universe that's constantly in flux, shaped by this dance between control and chaos. It's all happening in this instant that's both the past and the future. It's like trying to grasp a handful of water.
It definitely challenges our linear understanding of time. And to represent this visually, the chapter introduces the Noellian axiom, this mathematical expression that captures this dynamic interplay.
Okay, I'm intrigued. Tell me more about this Noellian axiom.
So it's written as negative C greater than sign, infinity symbol, less than sign, C plus. And it's like a visual representation of that dance between automaton and entropium. The negative speed of light, the negative C, represents the past, and the pole of automaton, while the positive speed of light, the C plus, represents the future and the pole of entropium. And that infinity symbol in the middle, that's the singular infinity, the instant where they meet.
So it's like a cosmic equation that encapsulates this whole idea of a universe in constant flux, shaped by the interplay of control and chaos. I'm starting to see why they call this a Noellian rhapsody. It's like a symphony of concepts, all interwoven and building upon each other. But how do we connect this abstract framework to something tangible, something we can relate to in our everyday lives?
That's where the chapter introduces the concept of the torus knot.
Okay, a torus knot. That sounds a little intimidating. What is that?
Imagine like a vortex of energy, constantly in motion, like a whirlpool or a smoke ring. That's the torus knot. And it's not just some random shape. The chapter uses it as a metaphor to describe how energy flows and interacts in the Noellian universe.
So this torus knot is like a microcosm of the universe itself, constantly in motion, shaped by the dance between automaton and entropium.
Exactly. And the chapter goes even further, suggesting that the creative process itself can be understood through this lens. Just as the torus knot is constantly generating energy and influencing everything around it, our thoughts and ideas interact with each other and with the world, creating ripples that kind of shape reality.
Wow, that's a pretty powerful image. So we're not just passive observers in this Noellian universe.
Yeah.
Our thoughts, our actions, our creativity, it's all part of this grand symphony of creation.
That's one of the key takeaways from this chapter. It challenges us to kind of see ourselves as active participants in the unfolding drama of the cosmos. And speaking of drama, the chapter introduces this other concept, the cosine wave. They describe it as like a serpent of energy wrapping itself around the torus knot.
I gotta admit, I'm a little lost on that one.
So the cosine wave, like the Noellian axiom, is another visual representation of the interplay between automaton and entropium. Imagine it as a wave that oscillates up and down, wrapping itself around the torus knot. The peaks of the wave represent the influence of automaton, while the valleys represent the pull of entropium.
So again, we're seeing this dynamic interplay between control and chaos visually represented.
Precisely. And the cosine wave, like the Noel equation itself, acts as a bridge between these two realms, a conduit for the flow of energy and information. It's a beautiful way to visualize this complex dance that shapes reality.
This is all incredibly mind-bending, but I'm starting to get a sense of the Noellian framework. It's a universe in constant flux, shaped by this interplay of control and chaos, and we as conscious beings are active participants in this unfolding drama. But what are the building blocks of this reality? What is the universe actually made of in this Noellian model?
That's where the chapter introduces the concept of Noellian primitives.
Okay, primitives. What exactly are we talking about here?
Think of them as the fundamental units of existence in the Noellian universe. They're described as fleeting sparks of incandescence born from the dance between automaton and entropium.
So these primitives are like the atoms of the Noellian universe.
Mm.
But instead of being solid and unchanging, they're these ephemeral sparks of energy constantly emerging and dissolving.
Exactly. And they carry information shaping the trajectory of other particles and leaving an imprint on the singular infinity.
Okay, so we've got these fleeting sparks of existence that are constantly being born and dissolving, carrying information and influencing everything around them. It's a far cry from the solid, unchanging particles we learned about in school.
Absolutely. And this raises a fascinating question. If reality is constantly in flux, if even the building blocks of the universe are ephemeral and ever-changing, what does that say about our own perception of the world?
That is a great question, and one that I think we need to explore further. But before we do, let's take a moment to let our minds catch up with all these mind-bending concepts.
We'll be back soon to delve deeper into the Noellian universe and unpack even more of its mysteries. Stay with us. Welcome back to our deep dive into the Noellian universe. Before we took a moment to gather our thoughts, we were talking about those fleeting sparks of existence, those primitives.
Right, and how those primitives challenge our traditional ideas about the building blocks of reality. I mean, it's a pretty radical departure from the solid, unchanging particles we're used to thinking about.
It certainly is, and it leads to some pretty intriguing questions about how we perceive the world around us. You know, if everything is in constant flux, if even the most fundamental units of existence are kind of ephemeral, how do we experience a reality that feels relatively stable and consistent?
Well, they do bring up this idea of a causal set.
Right.
Which just seems to address that very question, but I'm still a bit fuzzy on what exactly a causal set is.
Well, it's this fascinating concept that really challenges our linear understanding of time. Instead of thinking of time as a straight line, you know, from past to present to future, imagine it as this vast multidimensional ocean of interconnected moments.
A multidimensional ocean of moments. That's, yeah. I'm trying to picture that, and it's definitely making my brain work.
It's definitely a mind-bending concept. And within this ocean, each moment, each causal set is like a universe unto itself. It's a snapshot of the interplay between automaton and entropium. You know, that eternal dance between control and chaos that we talked about earlier?
So each moment is connected to every other moment,
mm-hmm.
not in a linear way, but through this complex web of relationships and influences.
Exactly. It's like a giant tapestry where each thread is a moment in time, and they're all interwoven to create this intricate pattern that we experience as reality.
It's a pretty radical departure from our everyday experience of time as something that flows in one direction. But it does make you wonder if each moment is a universe unto itself. Does that mean there are infinite possibilities? Like, could we be living in a multiverse where every choice, every action creates a new branch of reality?
That's a question that many physicists and philosophers are grappling with today. And the Noelian framework certainly doesn't shy away from those kinds of mind-blowing implications. But before we kind of dive too deep into that multiverse rabbit hole, let's circle back to another concept that the chapter reimagines, this idea of a steady-state universe.
I thought the steady-state theory had been largely discredited in favor of the Big Bang, though. How does that fit into this Noelian model?
Well, the Noelian framework takes the idea of a steady-state universe and gives it a fresh spin. Instead of thinking of it as a static, unchanging entity, it presents a vision of a dynamic equilibrium, a system that's in constant flux but maintains an overall balance.
So it's like a perfectly choreographed dance, where the steps are always changing, but the overall rhythm remains constant.
That's a great analogy. And in this dynamic dance, creation and destruction are kind of intertwined. We see this constant flow of particles and waves emerging from automaton and dissolving back into entropium, this never-ending symphony of sublimation and transformation.
Hmm. It's a far cry from the static clockwork universe that some scientific models propose. This Noelian universe is teeming with energy, constantly evolving, and somehow managing to maintain a sense of balance amidst all the chaos.
That's the beauty of it. It embraces both the order and the chaos, acknowledging that they're not opposing forces, but two sides of the same coin.
And speaking of chaos, the chapter also introduces a concept that might sound familiar from science fiction. The plasma universe.
Plasma. I remember learning about that in high school science class. It's like a superheating gas, right?
Yeah.
But how does it fit into this Noelian model? Well, think of plasma as like the lifeblood of the Noelian universe. It's not just a state of matter. It's the medium through which energy and information flow and connect across vast distances.
And consciousness.
And even consciousness, yes.
So those plasma filaments we talked about earlier, they're like the veins and arteries of the cosmos, carrying information and consciousness throughout the universe.
Exactly. And this brings us to a really fascinating concept, panpsychism.
Panpsychism. Okay, I've heard that term before, but I'm not sure I fully understand it.
It's the idea that consciousness is not just a byproduct of biological complexity, but a fundamental property of the universe itself. You know, it suggests that consciousness permeates all things, from the smallest particles to the largest structures in the cosmos.
So instead of consciousness arising from matter, it's actually the other way around.
That's the essence of panpsychism.
Consciousness is the foundation, and matter arises from it.
Exactly. And in the Noelian framework, those plasma filaments act as pathways for consciousness, allowing it to move and interact across vast distances.
So the universe is not just this vast collection of inanimate matter, but a living, breathing entity with consciousness woven into its very fabric. That's a pretty radical shift in perspective.
Yeah.
But if consciousness is everywhere, how does it communicate? How does it interact with itself and with the physical world?
Well, the chapter mentions electromagnetism as the carrier wave of consciousness. And this reframes that ancient concept of the music of the spheres as a tangible reality. It's not just some abstract mystical notion, but a symphony of charged particles dancing to the rhythm of electromagnetic forces.
So this music of the spheres is the language of the universe, the way consciousness communicates and interacts with itself.
You could say that. It's this constant hum of energy and information, a symphony of creation and destruction that plays out on a cosmic scale. And we, as conscious beings, are not just audience members. We're participants in this grand orchestra.
Wow. That's a pretty amazing image. So we're all connected, not just through physical means, but through this underlying field of consciousness that permeates everything.
That's one of the key takeaways from the Noelian framework. It challenges us to see ourselves as part of something much larger than ourselves, a vast interconnected web of existence where consciousness plays a fundamental role.
Definitely a lot to take in. But before we get too lost in the vastness of the cosmos, let's bring it back down to Earth for a moment. Welcome back to The Deep Dive. We spent the last part of this episode, you know, exploring the Noelian universe, this world where reality is in constant flux, consciousness permeates everything, and the universe itself seems to be breathing.
Yeah, we've encountered some truly mind-bending concepts, Ultimaton and Entropium, the causal set, the music of the spheres.
Yeah.
It's almost as if we've stepped into like a David Lynch film where, you know, logic takes a backseat and reality itself becomes fluid, dreamlike.
Well, I mean, it is fitting considering that this material was actually generated by an AI based on an outline by David Lynch.
Yeah.
It's like the AI was able to tap into that same surreal, mind-bending energy that you see in Lynch's work.
Absolutely. But this Noelian framework, as strange as it might seem at first, offers a potentially really profound way to understand the universe and our place within it. It challenges us to question our assumptions about reality, time, and even consciousness itself.
And one thing that keeps coming up for me is this idea of interconnectedness.
Mm-hmm.
From the dance between Ultimaton and Entropium to the web of causal sets to the plasma filaments connecting everything, the Noelian model paints a picture of a universe where nothing exists in isolation.
Exactly. And if we take that idea seriously, I mean, it has some pretty profound implications for how we live our lives.
Right.
If we're all connected, if our thoughts and actions can influence the fabric of reality, then we have a responsibility to act in ways that, you know, contribute to the well-being of the whole.
It's a lot like the Buddhist concept of interconnectedness,
yeah,
where our actions have consequences that ripple out and affect everything around us.
Yeah, there are definitely parallels there. Both the Noelian framework and Buddhist philosophy emphasize the interconnectedness of all things and, you know, the importance of recognizing our role in this web of existence.
So if we accept this idea of interconnectedness, how does it change our perspective? You know, how does it affect our everyday lives? Does it change how we interact with each other, how we make decisions, how we even see our place in the world?
That's the real question, isn't it? I think if we truly grasp this idea that our thoughts and actions have consequences that ripple out and affect the whole, it can be both empowering and humbling. You know, it suggests that we have the power to shape reality, but also the responsibility to use that power wisely.
It's almost like realizing you have superpowers, but you don't know how to use them responsibly.
That's a great analogy. And it highlights the importance of cultivating awareness, both of ourselves and of, you know, the interconnected web of existence. The Noelian framework, with its emphasis on that dynamic interplay of control and chaos, invites us to find a balance between our individual will and the flow of the universe.
So what's the takeaway for our listeners today? What's the one thing we want them to walk away from this deep dive pondering?
If reality is a tapestry of interconnected moments, constantly being woven and unwoven by that dance of control and chaos, what role does your consciousness play in this grand cosmic symphony?
That is a question worthy of David Lynch himself. And on that note, I think we'll leave our listeners to ponder the mysteries of the Noel.
Until next time, keep exploring, keep questioning, and, you know, keep your minds open to the infinite possibilities of the universe.